people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
You are all about to get on this record.
The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces on the big puzzle.
And now, your host, Barry Britz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and gators, and you kids and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of the Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I am broadcasting through the facilities of Revolution Radio, and I'm in Studio B. Thanks for joining us today and listening to what me and my guests have to offer. One gentleman I really, really enjoy getting in on a regular basis, and he's gracious enough to give me time every once in a while to get in here and have a chat with me. I'm talking about Wayne Peters. Wayne has a site called What's Up Canada and is involved greatly. I believe he's actually one of the founders, and if not the founder, of Looking Glass Media. I urge you guys to go take a look at his sites. Wayne, it's always good to have you in. And, you know, I like to start my shows with your pet peeve of the week. So I don't know if you're going to be prepared for that because I didn't warn you, but what is your pet peeve? And welcome back to the show, my friend. Always good to have you in.
Well, thanks for having me back again, Barry. I always take as many opportunities as I can to light your hair on fire.
No.
today's pet peeve, though, I've been really busy, so I didn't come up with anything really specific for your show this morning other than the general bee in my bonnet all week this week is Mr. Trudeau harping and trying to tell the world, I didn't force anybody to do anything. Really? I saw such an amazing side-by-side clip the other day, lasted about 2 minutes, of all of the lies that he has told in the last couple of years when it comes to this bioweapon assault on the unsuspecting societies, and you know exactly the lies from the same lips. A year later, it's just absolutely disgusting to me that this guy is still using up valuable oxygen. Come on, guys, save our planet.
Well, he truly takes gaslighting to a new level, doesn't he, Wayne? I mean, I was gagging listening to him talk. I mean, how can a person? I really don't know. It must have been his training in drama school that he can sit there in front of the world audience and lie right through his teeth. His nose would go from Ottawa to Vancouver if he was Pinocchio, and he still does it. He gets up there and lie after lie after lie. I mean, does he think we have an IQ of 50? Because he must. Well, what I saw this week was just despicable, buddy. And he's the leader of our country? Oh, boy.
I don't think that any amount of acting could teach anybody to be such a slimy piece of garbage as what he is. That's generic. He's inherited that. He comes by it honestly. The entire family, the entire lineage, the entire cabal all come from the same genetic swamp of ugliness and ignorance. And so, you know, I do have to give him credit for that. He's at least consistent to his true self. So, you know, at least we never have to guess at how ignorant he is, how poorly he sees the people he stole the nation from. I can't believe for a second that he was actually elected. So, I mean, unfortunately, we are still humans, and we have these human conditions that, and one of them is that we don't learn the lesson until the price we pay is high enough. So I really do hope that we get to that point soon enough that Canadians as a majority figure out the reality of the evil behind this garbage and this progressive nonsense that is every day a further departure from what Canada is, was meant to be, and what we all still feel it is. So anybody that has progressive in their words, campaign, lifestyle, they are absolutely belong in a different place, and definitely not in the real world. They need to be permanently entrenched in their digital avatar universe. Go get your brains absorbed by the Borg machine, and spare us all your presence.
Well, we look what they did in the United States to get Joe Biden elected, and anybody who thinks that we had a fair election the last time around, like you said, Wayne, really does, they have their head in the sand. My biggest concern now is that Trudeau is giving himself so many powers that it's going to be more and more difficult as time goes on to put a stop to this guy. What he did with Bill C-11, I don't know if most Canadians, I talked to them about Bill C-11, and they haven't got a clue what it's all about. They don't have a clue. And yet it was one of the worst censorship bills ever passed in Canadian history. And, you know, he's got three more lined up right behind that, Wayne. So if it's his way in a year or less, maybe 2 years at the most, we will not have any freedom of speech left in Canada. Pretty terrifying what's going on.
You know, and the sad part of it is, and this is where, again, I don't believe that we have hit the point where people have learned enough yet, because people still seem to think that Pierre Poilievre is going to save them from Mr. Trudeau and his diabolic agenda. When the fact of the matter is all of these laws that Trudeau is passing, he's not dreaming them up. They're not coming from Canadian minds or needs. Those are being drafted and drawn up in Brussels and by some of their uber national globalist World Economic Forum forthright think tanks, and then they're implemented in Canada. And Pierre has absolutely no more sway over those laws than what Trudeau does, because They are all contractually obligated to fulfill these things. These laws that Trudeau's been implementing for the last 6 years have nothing to do with Canadian law and everything to do with transference of power and authority, control and management away from Canadians to the World Economic Forum. And the only thing that these two parties compete for is the purse strings to see who can fulfill Uncle Close's attaboy list the fastest. And the conservatives just tend to do behind closed doors that Trudeau enjoys throwing in our face.
So what are we going to do about that, Wayne? What's our options outside of the two mainstream parties, which is the way most people think in Canada? What are our options? What can we do at this point? What would you suggest people listening today take as a course of action? Because we all feel the same way. We all know that Poilievre is just a player, that he's a liberal with lipstick on. That's the only difference between him and Trudeau. And if he gets into power, which I believe he will, because people are so pissed off with Trudeau right now, they're going to grab onto anything. We'll see what happens when he actually gets in and what he actually does. But I got a feeling he'll be just another Trudeau. So what else can we do right now, Wayne? Let's hear some solutions to it, because I'm telling you, people are getting pissed off. And I'm going to tell you something real quick before you answer that question, Wayne. I was at a trade fair yesterday in Terrestre, and all the local businesses, you know, every organization that is functioning in the North Coast had a booth there. So of course I got to engage in some very, very heated conversations and lively conversations, but I also had on my Trudeau hat, which expresses my feelings about Trudeau right to the max. And of course it says F-U-C-K Trudeau. Well, I missed an opportunity yesterday to make a lot of money, Wayne, because I could have sold, no word of a lie, every second person that saw my hat wanted to buy it. So what I'm seeing in Canada, people are starting to pay attention. But I hear from people all the time is, what can I do? I'm just one individual. I have no say. I hear that argument all the time, but the fact that so many people responded to that hat yesterday was very encouraging. I regret not having a couple hundred on me, because I think I could have sold them all.
Well,
I'm not kidding you. It was hilarious.
I can tell you what you can't do. You can't put those hats for sale on your website, because you will be censored, and that is the voice of experience speaking there. So, I don't have any to provide you with. I happily would, but no, those are one of those things that I've been slapped across the knuckles for over the last year already. And that's just going to get worse, unfortunately. You know, but the you brought up something there that I had a wonderful experience of here just this past Friday. I was talking with a lady that I'd never met before, and they wanted to do something. They hadn't really done anything. They didn't know what to do. They felt alone and all of those things. And I said to her, I said, you know, in my experience over the last 5 years, it doesn't really matter what we do, but as long as we're doing something, because we don't know who is going to be the person that we are going to influence or help or inspire. Even if we don't believe we can change the world, we don't know who we are going to inspire that may change the world. And while I'm telling her this story, this is in downtown Toronto, while I'm telling her this story, somebody else, a friend, walks up and introduces me to a lady who was, I spent the next few minutes there with her crying, thanking me for the information that I had sent her in her fights to keep her kids from getting jabbed. She had reached out and I had helped her in the middle of the night once upon a time a while ago, didn't know this lady from a hole in the ground at the time. But there was this, you know, this person who one act that changed their lives forever. And what are they doing now? These people are out supporting the Chris Sky campaign. So we don't know who we are going to impact every single day. So this is why I am so grateful that every single day, as horrible as it is sometimes, as drained and tired as I feel sometimes, and oh, I am tired, I still have to get up every single day and do what I do, because I don't know if that's going to be the day that we make the big change without even realizing it.
Amen. So true. So true, Wayne. I know that you're you're deeply involved with Chris Guy, that you're putting, I'd say probably 1,000% of your energy into what he's doing right now, because we see an opportunity through one individual to actually make change in society. So I applaud what you're doing, and I applaud what Chris is doing. I was talking to him yesterday, and he said he'd like to join us for 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the show, if you're good with that. I don't know if he's around where you are right now, or if I can call him in on the phone. The last 20 minutes or 15 minutes of the show, he'd love to jump in and make a few comments. So if you're good with that, or if you're around him and you can get him on your Skype call, that would work even better. But yeah, he'd like to get in and say a few things today before the show's over. So well, perhaps we could do that.
I should explain that a little bit, what I'm doing here with Chris's campaign. People that know me and have known me, you know, for any length of time, know that I'm not a cheerleader, but I'm always interested in the truth and things that matter. And Chris was never really a big subject line on my platforms because he was involved in activism, and I was more interested in news. My platforms, my job is as an investigative journalist, and I'm, you know, deeply focused on creating stories that aren't out there, in exposing news and truth that isn't out there. And that is ultimately why I am here in Toronto, not because I am such a diehard Chris Guy fan, but because what he is doing here is the biggest news story being not told in Canada right now. So my time although I'm 1,000% busier than what I'm doing, it's because I'm the only outlet that is paying attention to what Chris is doing. I am the only outlet that is doing any amount of legitimate reporting on what he's doing, and it's got me, you know, jumping like a Mexican jumping bean, because that is added on to the pile of all of the things that I already do already. So this is what I'm doing is I'm here to provide Chris's voice, his story throughout the process of this, knowing that the people on the dark side will do everything they can to stop this man from, you know, not just speaking out, but from potentially being the next mayor in Toronto. And I'll tell you what I'm seeing here, the reality of what I'm seeing versus what anybody else is talking about out there in the digital space is so glaringly opposite. You know, when I was at the campaign office grand opening on Friday night, and the campaign team, the experienced people on the campaign team, there are people that are helping Chris out that have been involved in many elections, provincial, federal, municipal, those kinds of things, was, you know, they were quite you know, close in alignment, thinking there might be 40, 50 people would show up. That's kind of a typical response for an election grand opening in Toronto. No, there was 400 showed up. So if that's any kind of an indicator of what the boots on the ground reality is versus what people are seeing in the news and media, I think that this is going to be a very interesting story at the end of the day. All in all, when I look at there's a dozen little sub stories that, you know, aren't really something that I can turn into a news article or a video yet, that have really, you know, made me smile and made me chuckle at how desperate these guys are. It's absolutely hilarious to me how all of these so-called contenders, how they can do absolutely nothing on their own because Chris is living rent-free in all of their brains. And every one of them has waited till after Chris has come out and announced his campaign platforms to adopt something that Chris was adopting so that they didn't sound like they were so far out of touch from reality. So it's absolutely it's hilarious to me that the legacy media here in Toronto, that would be CP24, CTV, Global TV, have run multiple articles on this 18-year-old kid who woke up in the morning, decided he wanted to try and be mayor of Toronto, so his mommy bought him a ticket, and he's out there campaigning on turning raccoons into first responders, and some other equally ludicrous point. But at the end of the day, he basically stole word for word Chris's housing solution platform. So this is the kind of antics that these clowns are engaging in, and it is so pathetic and weak. It's hilarious.
Well, you know, when is the actual election in Toronto?
June 26th. I think early polls open somewhere around the 5th or the 8th or something. I'm not sure on that yet. The last day is June 26th. And so on June 27th, I'm heading home.
So we're talking a little less than 2 months from now. Boy, I'll tell you, I think Chris is really going to rock the boat in Toronto. And boy, it's overdue. It really is, Wayne. Just the fact that he's in there and people are actually hearing a different opinion and a different theology and a different idea of how to run the city, I think it's going to speak volumes for the way this thing goes down in the end. I think people are really starting to pay attention to what's going on in our governments, and I think Chris's timing right now is perfect. I really do. So, like, I'm not a cheerleader. I'm not sitting here cheering on the guy on, but I'm applauding what he's doing, because it does take courage to do what he's doing, Wayne. We're in a world today, whether we like to admit it or not, there's people in this country right now that would gladly put a bullet in Chris's head to shut him up if he starts to rock the boat too much. And I think he's going to rock the boat a lot here in the next couple of months. So I pray every day for his safety, Wayne. As corny as that might sound, I honestly pray for his safety.
I think everybody needs to do that. Everybody needs to pray for his safety and his success. And this is a tough job for me to do, to maintain my middle of the road. Like, I mean, I am nonpartisan. I don't take sides in politics typically. But the thing, I mean, I'm still human. I still have people that inspire me, motivate me, aggravate me, all of those things. But I try to leave that out of my job. My job is to deliver the facts. And that is where, when people start to understand the facts, you cannot help but try to start to be inspired by this guy, right? I mean, I've been watching him as a journalist for 3-4 years now, since he first started down in Queen's Park in Toronto. I was there. I was covering those events when nobody had ever heard of Chris Skye yet. And over the period of time, and this is what I think that the establishment is counting on, they have taken liberties on Chris Skye's name and character for 3 years. Not just liberties with the law and with his rights and freedoms, because I think he's up to 69 cases now that he has beaten because they are bogus and garbage. But it's those kinds of things that have created such a negative noise about who Chris Skye is in the entire noise space out there. And it's interesting, because I was doing an interview on somebody else's platform last week, and when Chris Skye came up, they were like, "Oh, I find him abrasive. I don't really like him." And I thought about that for a second, and I responded with, you know, of course you don't like him, because you know, the world has been taught to hide in a corner, under a bed, under a mattress. So if there is ever a strong, assertive, independent, competent, confident man out there, people are absolutely mortified of this, of whoever that might be, and they run and hide in the closets. I mean, conservatives and liberals alike, and they sit there and they cower and say, "Oh, I don't like that guy," but they cannot provide one single point of what he is wrong on. And that is where people really need to start thinking about what is real, what do they fear, and what do they actually need and want, because he is there fighting like that guy that he is, because he has never had a dog in the fight. He has never seen anybody that actually stood up for Canadians. He has never seen anybody that wasn't exactly another carbon copy, stamp out, clone trooper, cut out of every other douche that has stolen, ripped off, and destroyed his city, his province, and his country. So if you don't like somebody that's abrasive, confident, and strong moving forward, obviously you do not want change. You want more vanilla, milk, toast, crime, corruption, and collusion, and you are too afraid of change to actually make change. And those are the people that, right, wrong or otherwise, will not support Chris because they have heard some of the noise out there. You know, there is nobody out there that is absolutely innocent, perfect, or doesn't have a history in their world. But what they are trying to assign and label Mr. Sky with is unfair. What they are doing to him is unjust. We do not live in a democracy. We absolutely live in an autocracy with nothing but the bandits pulling the politician strings that they've bought. So people need to get over their irrational, unreasonable feelings and start getting on some facts. And this election in Toronto, like Chris or not, is the most important election in Canadian recent history, if you ask me, simply because the cabal goofed and they opened up a crack in a window. And with the incumbent, John Tory, having resigned in shame, it's an opportunity for somebody who is not a part of the same bureaucracy, the wash, rinse, repeat, cardboard cutout, swamp creatures, to take advantage of the opportunity. And people need to understand that if we can start to take back the power of our municipalities, it is the only intervention point available to us to stop the cabal, to stop the coup of Canada, to intervene in what they are doing without going full on Ukraine or Venezuela, because that is exactly where they are taking us. And we need a whole lot more Chris Skies out there right now who might be abrasive, they might be obnoxious to your sensibilities, but if they are right and they are doing the dirty work, get the hell out of the way and support these people.
Absolutely. I think Chris is going to inspire people. I think he already has. I've heard all kinds of conversations across the country about Chris Sky and what he's doing in Toronto. I also have a cousin living on Eglinton Avenue. And, you know, he's never followed politics in his life, never has got involved. But he's hearing about this Chris Sky guy in Toronto, and he's heard a few things that he's had to say. And he's going like, wow, this guy is really, really calling it like it is, Barry. And I've never even heard of this guy, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I think he's already starting to make major waves in Toronto. Like I said, I really think that he's going to rock the boat. I think he's got a legitimate chance of winning this. And boy, if he does, you're going to see some changes in Toronto overnight, Chris, or Wayne, I should say.
And he's absolutely I can't keep up with this guy. He is, the most driven, motivated man, a hardworking guy. There is nobody. I mean, there's a lot of people that are working their butts off on this campaign, but there is nobody that's outworking Chris. It's just not possible. So people should expect that if he should pull off this upset of David against the Goliath, that he will absolutely hit the ground running. And people, you know, they look at him and they dismiss him because he's got tattoos or he's got muscles or he's louder than their friends or those kinds of things. But this man has got an incredible amount of experience in municipal city development and construction and all of the things that are typically the money laundering, corrupt, scandal laden organizations in every major urban center. He actually knows how that all works. And so that is, I think, one of the most undersold realizations for people that they need to understand. And the other most important one of all, it to me, is that every single one of these alternative bureaucrats, and I think there's 50 of them, most of them have all been the ones that are the cause of lockdowns and vaccination programs and COVID measures. All of the people that are running against Chris are all of the people that are the reason we had all of that in the first darn place in Toronto. So if you don't want any more of that stuff, guys, do not get caught up in the charade of the lie of any of the other bureaucrats and sycophants and nonsense people. I was at an event the other night covering it, and honestly, I didn't have the guts to film it because every other candidate except for one was so farcical, I would have been embarrassed to put that on my platform. Other than Chris and probably Anthony Fury, there is absolutely nobody that I could, with a straight face, put on my platform and say, this is somebody that's contending.
Yeah, one person described the other candidates in Toronto as people that if you ask them their name, they're stuck for an answer. So I'm hearing that from quite a few people that are watching what's going on. And I really hope that he can pull this off, Wayne. It really is the way to take back control is at the municipal level. If we embrace that theory across the country and took back the municipalities in this country, we could put a stop to all the globalist agendas. And like you said earlier, it's really one of the only ways we have now of putting a stop to this. The government's not going to listen to us. They've made that quite clear. The amount of pushback they had against Bill C-11, the amount of people that spoke against it, really, really smart people from all different sectors of society spoke loudly against it. They've made it quite clear that they're not going to listen to anything that the people in this country say, that they're just going to go ahead and do what they want to do with the NDP and the Liberal coalition. It's basically an unstoppable force under the system we currently have. So...
Well, they've created their own monster, and now that monster is people like Chris and people like us that are doing the work that they have all abdicated their responsibilities and duties to do. And the political machine, the garbage machine, has created this environment now here where with the PSAC strikes going on, where every federal government employee is on strike, whining and slipping, asking for something that no other Canadian except for a politician is going to get, and that's an 11% raise, which they backed down from 13%, and anybody else in Canada is lucky if they get 4% over 10 years, but these guys, they want their payback. These guys, these unions, they want their just reward. They want their golden eggs for being the self-anointed civil servants and forces of Marxism and communism that the government ordered. These guys, they've earned it now, so they need to sit at home and get incredible raises and perks and bonuses. And if they don't, is anybody in the news actually covering the laws that these guys are breaking? Everything that Trudeau and the regime accused the convoy of doing that they did not do, these freaking government employees are doing it, and the cops are letting them go and letting them happen. I mean, they're giving out the token warning. There is no mass tickets and fines for these people like they gave to the people that were asking questions about COVID or the jab mandates. And mandate means forced. So these guys are blocking infrastructure. They are cutting off bridges. They are breaking the law every single day in extorting us for more money. The legacy media is telling, oh yeah, the people of Canada, they love these guys, and 70% of them are in support of giving these guys whatever they want so that they can let this slime ball Trudeau off the hook. And Trudeau comes out and lies, oh yeah, I've been involved intimately in all of this from the beginning, and I'm confident in the process of freedom and democracy. What a lying sack of garbage. Oh yeah, usually it's me getting you wound up, but today is my turn, I guess.
Well, did he say that from the globalist citizens meeting in New York where he met with Soros' son and they're having breakfast, lunch, and supper together?
Yep.
We got the biggest strike in Canadian history, and what does Trudeau run? Runs away to a globalist meeting, folks. That alone should have people infuriated in this country, but I see crickets from a lot of people, and that really, really worries me, Wayne. Go ahead.
Well, that's, this guy, he's got to keep it running every week. He's got to create a new scandal every week so we forget about the one last week, whatever it is. You know, last week it was another holiday on taxpayers' dimes. He's got to keep this insanity going. And where are we on, the interference in our elections from the CCP? Anybody remember that? I mean, that was so long ago, a whole 2 weeks ago. This is just absolutely ludicrous that we don't have an opportunity to escape this insanity. And now it's only going to get so much worse with the censorship and the media propaganda that's going to come out. The only good news to me is the timing of that. This doubling down on censorship and propaganda is exactly what Hitler did in 1944, 6 months before his war was over. So fingers crossed that as this progressively gets worse and this insanity gets more and more unbearable, that people will start to realize that they can't hide from this garbage. People have got to stop excusing their responsibility and their duty and saying, oh, I'm not interested in politics. Well, that's bullshit, because politics is interested in you. And if you don't get interested in it, it will eat you up, spit you out, and bury you in a hole.
Yep. And the window is getting smaller and smaller, folks. The window is still there, Wayne. I honestly believe that if enough Canadians rose up and said, we're not going to take this bull crap anymore, it would come to a stop tomorrow. But like you said earlier in the show, I think it's going to take people to be directly, really directly affected by the changes we see coming to get them to get involved to a point where they're actually phoning their MP, standing up and just doing anything they can to put a stop to it. We're not there yet. I don't know really what it's going to take just to inspire the masses en masse, but I think it's going to have to be something that directly affects them, that they all wake up one day and go, what the hell's going on? Like maybe the collapse of the dollar and the seizure of bank accounts across the country in 24 hours. You think that would wake them up?
Well, I think it is absolutely going to when it does come. And one of the indicators that makes me nervous about this, you know, as much as this needs to happen, the power, our finances, these things need to be taken away from these guys. But this collapse of destruction is willful and intentional, because they intend to provide us with a solution, the solution that they want. And that's the part that scares me about Absolutely. This, because we are at that point. This week, Trudeau was trying to calm the media trying to deflect from bank runs. And when you've got Trudeau that is starting to bring up bank runs and trying to talk people out of it, while we are literally watching day by day the entire Western Hemisphere's economy sliding underneath the waves like the Titanic, it's our own fault if we allow this to happen at this point. And every day that we get closer to this point, I sadly believe that we are going to be stuck in a position where we are going to be fighting the willing Nazis that are useful idiots that are going to be supporting this global digital currency and these Trudeau solutions, these World Economic Forum solutions. That's who the stupid people, the ones that voted for these people, those are the ones that we're going to be are ultimately going to pay the price, the deepest, biggest price for their support of these Nazis.
Yeah, I kind of say, well, Canadians are going to get what they deserve, but I can't say that because I live in this country. And I see what's coming, and I'm going to do everything I can to stop it in my little way or any way that I can. I just wish that the media would expose to Canadians exactly what is going on in this country. Because if they did their job, you know, and I know, Wayne, this would come to a grinding halt if Canadians were really actually given information about what this government's intentions are and how sinister they are and how quickly they're destroying the country. Yet they'll paint it as rainbows and new dental programs and rental assistance and food assistance. Everything this government talks about is socialist agenda with lipstick on it. And I just hope that this is the year that people really pay attention, because I don't think we have a whole lot of time. I believe we have time, but I believe it's getting shorter and shorter. And a time for action is now, period.
Like, you know, that phrase or quote goes something along the lines of people, you know, they don't get the politicians that they want. They get the politicians that they deserve. And that's a tough one for me to accept, simply because I was one of those people that did not care about politics, had not voted, did not give two hoots about what kind of lies they were telling from whatever pulpit that they were standing, grandstanding on or virtue signaling from. I didn't care. But then I got lucky, and because of the government antics, I lost everything and literally walked away with a duffel bag and my clothes from a, you know, 45 years of my life's work was gone and stolen and ripped away from me because of the mismanagement of our government. And at the end of the day, I realized that had I still had that, you know, that life, where I had a, you know, brick and mortar business and, you know, all of the trappings of, you know, what they call a good life in Canada. If I still had all of that, I don't know if I would be so strongly committed to this fight as I am, because I would still always have in the back of my mind something to lose. And that has been my most liberating thing in all of this that made it something that I could do, was because I had nothing left to lose. So if not me, then who? But at the end of the day, we need people that still have something left to lose. They're willing to take the risks as well. So that's when we get to that point, whether people decide before they lose everything or after they lose everything, they will decide to do something at that point. And I just wish that we would do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, like I said, I don't believe we have a whole lot of time to stop this. I believe there's still a window there right now, but how much more time we got, I don't really want to guess, but I know that with the three bills that they've got lined up behind Bill C-11, I've looked into some of them. I don't know the details of every paragraph and everything they're bringing forward, but I know that in a year or two from now, free speech could virtually be a thing of the past in Canada. And that, of course, is the cornerstone of any free society. And, of course, that's what they're attacking right now. So I really do hope that this year that people really start to see what this government's doing and get involved in any way they can. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, after this bill comes the privacy bill and more censorship and more regulations. And at the end of the day, they're kind of holding off on some of those because there's some cases that are being fought in Canada right now where they are literally ignoring Supreme Court precedent in order to set new precedent in the lower courts to get away with all of the privacy breaches that we have typically enjoyed as free Canadians over the number, you know, over my lifetime. Anyways, those are all going to be gone. There will be no privacy. There will be no point where they will not be intervening on our information and data moving forward. That's going to get far, far worse.
Look who we got in here, Wayne. Speak of the devil himself. It's Mr. Chris Sky. How are you doing, Chris? And thanks for dropping in.
Hey,
for a
Barry.
I'm here with Wayne Peters, and we're just talking about your campaign in Toronto. Yeah. Well, we're talking about your campaign in Toronto, and why don't you bring us up to date what's going on? And I know that people would love to hear from you, Chris. So thanks for coming in.
I could tell you guys a lot. First of all,
go ahead. We got 20 minutes.
We started an unconventional campaign. So we had different types of events going on. We had a very successful fundraiser event, and then we had a couple private dinner events. And we started a campaign where I'm promoting health and fitness. So every single day I train at a different LA fitness at 7:30 in the morning. And it's worked out really well. We have a lot of people come out and we had some really good opportunities. Like we ran into some firefighters at LA fitness and they actually took one of my shirts and the captain even put it on over his uniform and they took a picture with me. And within a day after it went viral, the elections Toronto was calling me, telling me I got to take it down, citing that I broke all these election laws. Meanwhile, I saw multiple photos of other candidates doing the exact same thing. So rather than take my photo down, I made their little threat public, and I posted all the other candidates with any types of photos and said, I'll take it down when they do. So it's all, they've been trying, like, every day they try to do something to try to discourage me, but every day something happens that makes me more encouraged. We opened our brand-new office on Birch Mount Road. It's a huge office. We had a massive event there on Friday. We had an award-winning food truck. We had a bouncy castle. We had ice cream for the kids. And that place has been used as an election office about 6 times before. So I asked the campaign manager that was in charge of the office how many people they usually get at a campaign office opening. And they told me they usually get around 40 to 50 people. We had almost 400 people show up to our campaign office for the grand opening. So it's wow. Insane the amount of support we're getting. I went downtown last night for a wake party event, and I guess the Leafs game finished by the time I had gotten out of the event, and there was hundreds of people in the street, and I got absolutely mobbed in a frenzy from Toronto people and fans that wanted pictures, that wanted autographs. And it was crazy. I never, even by my standards, and I get a lot of attention, especially when I go to protests and stuff, but never before in my life have I just been on a random street corner and got, like, mauled by hundreds of people. It's crazy. We're going to show that we have a really massive amount of support. The biggest positive thing I can probably tell you guys is that I got an email from the official debate hall that's hosting the mayoral debate. And they basically said that if I'm polling over 10%, they cannot exclude me from the debate. And they're going to be using the polls from the top 4 polling companies in Canada over the next 2 weeks. So what I found out is I'm actually being included in every single phone poll for all the 4 poll companies. And they're only listing up to 6 candidates. So that tells you that I'm in the top 5 or 6 in the polling, even though the media will have you believe that I'm not polling very high, because CBC or CP24 will create their own internal unofficial poll, and then they'll right. just leave me out of it. And then they'll pretend like I'm not a top-tier candidate. But the reality is, I just posted a video on social media yesterday, and it got almost 1 million views in 24 hours. No other candidate has that traction. No other candidate has the presence. No other candidate has a platform like we do. Our website got updated. I launched the first 2 of 3 platform videos. And when I make a platform video, I sit there and I talk for about 1.5 minutes and I explain myself. I don't read a script and I just explain. None of the other candidates can do this. All of the other candidates release their platform by getting a written statement prepared by somebody else and simply posting it on their social media. They can't do what I do. Because if they were reading a script, it'd be obvious and they'd look like fools. And if they tried to just talk about what they're supposed to talk about, they couldn't do that either because they have no idea what they're talking about. So there's just so many differences between me and all the other candidates. The most obvious of all is they're all politicians. What did we see in the last 3 years? Politicians took advantage of the pandemic to enrich themselves and give themselves more power, literally creating a ruling class over we the people, and I'm part of that people. And the reality is the people are the ones that make the decision. The reality is the people are the ones that are in charge. The reality is the people are the ones that get to vote the next mayor of Toronto. So answer me one question, Barry. Why the hell would the people ever elect another politician when they can elect a representative of the people?
Okay, I'm a citizen of Toronto. I've heard your name before, but I really don't know what your platform's all about. So in 2 minutes, give me the top 5 points of your platform. That's different from any other politician that's trying to get in as mayor of Toronto.
Okay, well, because I have really 20 years experience in developing building, my big thing is construction, and my big thing is blocking these 15-minute cities. And our first platform would be about the housing crisis in Toronto, the unaffordability and the fact that it's hard to get units. How we would solve this is very simple. We would streamline the development process, and we would intensify high-density building location. We would accept zoning bylaws really quickly, and we would get them permits and development process really quickly, saving them months in the development process. This will allow developers to build a lot more units a lot faster, which save them a lot of money. So these units will end up being cheaper for the people to buy. So already we're going to have more units, and we're going to have more units quicker, and we're going to have more affordable units. And if that wasn't enough, we're also going to introduce a rent-to-own program where the government is going to be basically making a private corporation, which we can do in the city, and we're going to be taking about 10% of the units from each of these new developments, and we're going to be introducing a rent-to-own program for lower-income individuals. So now, instead of two students paying $1,500 a month rent and going nowhere, they can pay $1,500 a month each and start getting equity and start becoming a homeowner. And then instead of wasting the rest of their money, they can actually use it for good, and they're going to be getting somewhere in life. The second part of our platform is the massive traffic problem in Toronto. And the way we want to solve that is we want to greatly expand the TTC. We want to use a public and private partnership by creating a new corporation within the City of Toronto TTC that allows private investment to fuel the building of new subway lines. So it's at no cost to the city. Yet the city will still retain royalties of the revenue, but the private corporation will be responsible for the building, maintenance, and repair of this new system. This will really remove the vehicle traffic off the roads. This will get more accessibility and mobility and affordability for transport for all Torontonians, and it will satisfy the environmental aspect of cleaner, greener travel without having to infringe on the rights and liberties and way of life of the citizens.
Okay. What about crime in Toronto? Chris, go ahead.
Well, the crime in Toronto is off the hook, and that's because we have enough budget for the police, but it's being squandered, and the police are being misused. The police were used like a Gestapo to give out fines for the last 3 years. We want to repurpose the police. We want to go through the budget and find a bunch of savings so we can hire another 1,000 officers and EMS workers. We want to repurpose those workers so they're now an integral part of the community, and they actually serve the members and protect the members of the community. And this will foster a relationship of respect between the officers and the community once again. And that will go a long way, not just to reducing crime, but to increasing the positivity and the morale of the city. Finally, we got to protect the children. This new SOGI that's coming in, SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identity, and this transgender thing for performing for children in schools is out of this world. We just had an event that was sponsored by our Deputy Mayor of Toronto, Jennifer McAlvey, used our tax dollars to bring an award-winning transgender adult performer to a school to perform for children. We set up a protest because one of the students reached out to me, between the student and Josh Alexander, the brave boy who got arrested and harassed by the police just yesterday again. And we had over 1,000 people show up, including the children themselves, to protest against this agenda. So when I'm mayor, I will ensure that SOGI is completely blocked, and I'll make sure that there's no municipal funding going towards any agendas that are going to sexualize children. And we're going to put in new laws and new protections for children from this type of stuff. And we're the only candidate going to do any of that.
Makes sense to me. Everything you're saying makes sense to me. Boy, people are going to be flabbergasted at common sense. They haven't seen that for a while, Chris.
Yeah, tell me about common it.
Common sense was thrown out the window.
They want to pretend I'm so extreme. What's so extreme about my platform? It's pretty based. It's pretty well put together. The only reason they don't like it is because it makes sense and they can't criticize it, and they didn't come up with it. And the reality is none of them have a platform. You know what they have? They have an idea. They have ideas, and some of them might even have good ideas, but they have no idea how to make those ideas become a reality. In our plan, we have a tangible way to make everything I said a reality, and you'll see a huge difference in the communities and a huge difference in the people's lives within the first few months of our administration. We are going to set the example for all the other cities to follow. And you're going to see a domino effect of grassroots municipal movement of freedom fighters and other people of integrity stepping up and getting into positions of power like this. And we're going to take over this country from the ground up, and we're going to make it better for the citizens. That's our responsibility.
Well, you got my vote. If I was living in Toronto, I'd be voting for you, Chris. And any way I can support you here in the next couple months via my small radio station and my small radio show here, I'll offer to you any way I can. We only got about 3 minutes left here, gentlemen, and I know Wayne's been sitting here. Wayne, I'm going to let you voice a couple last opinions on what we've been talking about today, and then I'll let Chris close out with a couple comments, and that'll be the hour, guys. But thanks both of you for coming in and inspiring people today. Wayne.
I'm going to keep it short, and for everybody that's out there listening, stay tuned to the whatsupcanada.org platform later on this week, where I am going to be blowing out some of the biggest stories, not just in Canada, but in the entire world. And these are the things that are going to make people love and appreciate and want a Chris Sky in their neighborhood every step of the way. So we're doing what we can to help expose the nonsense, and Chris is providing the solutions. So get on board.
Boy, talking about Batman and Robin. Chris, go ahead, buddy.
Well, I'm just going to close with this, because I'm meeting a lot of people, and everybody says they're going to vote for me. And I just want to make sure that they actually follow through, because it's one thing to say you're going to vote, and it's another thing to actually get up off your ass on election day and go vote. And a lot of people have been disenfranchised. A lot of people have been told it's rigged. A lot of people have been told I have no chance, and all these other things to try to make it so they don't go out and vote. I'm telling you right now, we're going to win a landslide. We're going to get 70 to 75% of the vote. And all it's going to take is for you guys to believe in me. Like, I believe in myself and I believe in this country. So you guys got to get out and support me, and get everybody you know to get out and support me. And when you do, we're going to change the world. I promise you. Thank you.
Chris, can I say, I applaud what you're doing. Your courage is inspiring, and I know you're inspiring other Canadians right now. In lots of ways. So keep up what you're doing. And like I said, I hope I get you back in a couple of weeks, and you can bring me up to date with what's going on. And we'll closely monitor your campaign right to the end. Thanks to both you gentlemen for coming
in. In a
couple
of weeks, I'll have even more exciting updates for you guys.
Okay, cool. I'll look forward to that, and I'll hold you to that, Chris. So I want to thank you both again for coming in today. It's been a very, very enjoyable hour. And I look forward to talking to both you gentlemen in the very near future. Thanks again for coming in today.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Vote for the people. Vote for Chris.
Absolutely. Guys, what you just heard from Chris and Wayne, I hope that resonates with you, that we are a situation now in Canada where things are becoming dire. But I believe in the tenacity and strength of the Canadian people. I believe that enough of us are going to start growing some testicles, and we can put a stop to this insanity for the sake of our children, for the sake of our country, for the sake of everything that we enjoy in life. It's being taken away from us, and we got to put a stop to it. So I hope that you get off your butt today and stand up with Chris and Wayne and everybody else that's fighting this crap. I'll be back in about 4 minutes with Dr. Charles Hoff. Thanks, Wayne.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lies in the balance.
around the fire. Children at the cannons.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be invasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I, you know, I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me in the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and I'm just trying to get the doctor in here. I just talked to him on the phone, and we're having a problem, but that's normal. Just bear with me here for a minute, and I will get the doctor in here. Hold on. Boom, boom. Excuse me, folks. Yeah, hi. Doctor's just rebooting his computer. He lost his password, so he's going through a little bit of procedure here, but he said he'd be with me in a couple minutes, so we'll just hang in, and the doctor will be joining me here shortly, guys. What happens when you get amateur radio? We're definitely not professionals, but we're trying. Said he'll be in with me. He's going to message me here in a minute or so, and he should be able to join me. Bum, 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 bum. Boom, boom, boom. Well, we're having problems. I'm calling him on the phone right now, guys. We'll see if we can get him in here.
Sorry, Dr. Hoff. Missed the call. Please leave a message or send me a text. Have a good day. May God be with you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hello, Charles Hoff speaking.
Dr. Hoff.
Yes.
Have I got you? Skype doesn't seem to be working for us, so I called you on the phone here. So welcome to the
second hour. Okay, okay. Maybe that's going to work better. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll just do this on the phone, seeing we're having trouble with Skype. We are live now, and we missed a few minutes of the second hour here, but it's no big deal. Thanks for coming in, Doc, and joining me again today.
You're very welcome. You're most welcome. Sorry about the difficulties with technology.
Well, like I said, we're not professionals, but we try our best. And sometimes I've had this happen quite a few times, Doc. I'm not technical savvy at all, and I get frustrated and confused very easy. So we made it work, and I got you here for about 45 minutes right now. So let's talk about what's going on in British Columbia, because I know you're spearheading the movements against this government in lots of different ways. Do you want to tell people what you're up to?
Well, yeah, you know, I think the healthcare system in British Columbia is in absolute disarray, and so you know, we firstly have an aging medical health care. The number of the average age of doctors is well over 50, and so there've been quite a few retiring in any case. But this pandemic, unfortunately, has pushed quite a few into retirement. And then, of course, when they forced these experimental injections on any who worked in hospitals, that pushed a bunch more into retirement or just out of their jobs. And BC has been the most stubborn in refusing to hire staff back. And BC fired over 2,500 healthcare workers out of the hospitals, which in a pandemic is the most illogical, stupid thing imaginable, especially when the shots don't actually stop the transmission of a disease. So it was really foolish to fire healthcare workers in a pandemic, but particularly when the shots that they were forcing people to have didn't work. So there was no benefit in any way, only harm. And now, as if there wasn't enough problem to start with, Bill 36, which has, you know, as you know, it's been given royal assent, it's been voted on, it's been pushed through Parliament, is a terrifying bit of legislation that is clearly pushing doctors into retirement and strongly discouraging any new doctors from coming to BC. So just to tell any of your listeners who aren't familiar with Bill 36 what the issues are. Bill 36 is an enormous document of which less than half of it was ever even debated in the Parliament, and it was just pushed through. It's a document that gives the various different colleges the authority to mandate any vaccine to any healthcare professional as a licensing requirement. So in other words, if you want to work as a as a licensed healthcare practitioner in BC, you literally have to be willing to give up bodily autonomy. In other words, you have to say that you no longer have jurisdiction over what goes into your body, and your licensing authority, your college, can literally demand that you get vaccinated with anything they decide, and there is no longer informed consent. This is a licensing requirement. You will lose your ability to earn a living if you do not allow them to give you this forced injection. So you're giving up bodily autonomy, and you're giving up informed consent. And informed consent and bodily autonomy has been part of the ethical bedrock of medicine since Hippocrates. And it is never acceptable to force people to have medical treatments that they don't want. And so the fact that the colleges are now given the authority to do this, and not just for COVID, but for anything they want, is deeply concerning. Wow. So I don't think any healthcare practitioner, in their right mind would want to move to BC with that in mind, where you literally have to give up jurisdiction over your own body to your licensing authority. But to make it even worse, Bill 36 also states that if the college or the government decides that you as a licensed healthcare practitioner has said anything with which they disagree, because that's the definition of misinformation, is simply saying something that they don't agree with. If you hold to an alternative scientific viewpoint from Dr. Bonnie Henry or Adrian Dix or one of these other bureaucrats, then you're guilty of misinformation, because they are now the self-appointed arbiters of truth, and anything that they disagree with is misinformation. And so Bill 36 gives them the authority to fine any healthcare practitioner $200,000 for the crime of so-called misinformation, plus 6 months in jail. So this is a huge sword of Damocles hanging over any healthcare practitioner that you're afraid to open your mouth. When a patient comes to you and say, "Doctor, what do you think about this treatment?" If you say something about that treatment, let's say about the COVID vaccines, let's say you decide they're actually not safe and effective. They're not effective because they don't stop the spread of COVID. They're not effective because they do not stop severe disease and death. They're not effective. But if you say that, you can literally get a $200,000 fine and 6 months in jail. So when a patient now wants to ask their doctor what they think about a certain health product, the doctor has to be very, very careful about what he says. He can't just give his opinion. He has to say what the government wants him to say, which is a serious erosion of the therapeutic relationship between the doctor and his patient. The doctor is no longer free to give his opinion. So this is deeply troubling. No wonder more and more, you know, even before this pandemic, there were a million people in BC with no family doctor. It is getting steadily worse, and Bill 36 is literally the tip of the spear in terms of making, you know, collapsing. It's just popping the healthcare bubble. It's a crisis.
You know, if you weren't telling me this, I'd really have a hard time believing it, but I've looked into it myself, Doc. And what you're talking about with Bill C-36, folks, is medical tyranny 2.0, full-blown fascist medical tyranny in our society. The implications, like you said, Doc, going forward are terrifying. They really are. I know that there's doctors leaving British Columbia, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know there's doctors leaving British Columbia simply because they refuse to take these vaccines. And what are they going to do? What else, like you said, what else are they going to use this power when the government gets that kind of power? Right now they're saying, of course, it's for COVID-19 and blah, blah, blah. But like you said earlier, what else are they going to use it for if they have that kind of leverage over society? We can't allow this to go forward. What's going on as far as pushback, and what can we do to stop this right now, Doc?
Well, you know, there was a petition to try and recall our provincial premier, David Eby to try and block them. Yeah, you know, the problem was, since Trudeau's tyrannical treatment of anybody who opposed the Freedom Convoy, of shutting down people's bank accounts and doing violence to peaceful protesters, people are terrified to voice their disapproval. And so there were a lot of people who were too afraid to sign the petition to recall our premier because they're afraid of what the government's going to do to them. This is not a democracy anymore. When people can no longer freely express their opinions, just like those, you know, the truckers that went to Ottawa wanting to discuss the absurdly illogical vaccine mandates that forced truckers, unvaxxed truckers, to quarantine for 14 days when they crossed the border. And, you know, forcing unvaxxed people to cross a border when they're, you know, when a person is completely healthy and asymptomatic, to make an asymptomatic person quarantine is medically absurd. We've never before quarantined perfectly healthy people. It makes no scientific sense. Right. And to do that, to force them to have a vaccine that doesn't stop the spread of a virus, also makes absolutely no sense. I mean, there's no logical explanation for the mandates. And of course, to force anyone to have a medical treatment that they don't want is illegal in Canada. That was a Supreme Court decision in 1980 that you cannot force anyone to have a medical treatment that they do not want. And yet that is what the government has done. And so this is very deeply, we've lost our democracy because people are even afraid to voice their disapproval of these things. Freedom of speech has gone. It's very sad. Just about, it is very, very sad.
I would agree. It's just about gone. We still have a little bit left, Doc, but they're coming after what's left at light speed right now. Go ahead. You're absolutely correct. And it
they
is
are.
Terrible.
No, they are. And the fact that they have intimidated people into not wanting to speak freely for fear of retribution by being flagged from the government as a domestic terrorist because you gave money to a freedom convoy, that shuts down freedom of speech because you're intimidating people into silence. They no longer feel that they have freedom of speech because they're afraid of the consequences. So this is a very sad day, and unfortunately, all of those people who just keep silent a part of the problem.
Silence is consent, Doc. We know that. You know, we could look at what's gone on here in Canada in the last couple of years with Trudeau invoking the Emergencies Act, with him seizing bank accounts, with him unleashing riot police on peaceful Canadians that were only voicing their right to demonstrate against their government. That's what it was about. There was no violence in these demonstrations. I mean, Fox News, you know, they covered the going on in Ottawa extensively. And their reporters, and of course, you know, this was kind of kept away from the Canadians, but, you know, their reporters had no reports of violence, no reports of any kind of shenanigans going on with the demonstrators. It was totally peaceful. Yet all Trudeau did was he showed Canadians what he's going to do to them if you speak against it, us and our government. We're in a lot of trouble, Doc. See how effective fear is on people, how fear is the virus. It really is. It's what controls people's thought of process. When people's brains are put into a state of fear, they basically will do anything you tell them to do to get rid of that scream inside their brains. And we saw a great example of that with the unleashing of the biggest scandemic ever played on the human race. I just really, really hope that this is the year that we put a stop to this, Doc, because it's getting more insane by the day. We just watched them push Bill C-11 through. We know that they have three other bills coming right behind that are basically, if they get them all through, folks, we are not going to have the little bit of freedom of speech that we have left now will be taken away, and they'll have achieved their goal. We're not going to let that happen, Doc. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is a desperate situation. This seems just like a roller coaster of tyranny. And obviously, you know, a lot of people just feel despondent. They feel a bit helpless. This is a pretty grim, time to be living in. Just because so many people are brainwashed or too afraid to do anything about it. And so what do you think the solutions are, Barry? What can we do?
You look your neighbors and your friends in the eye, you open your heart, and you let them know right from the bottom of your heart just exactly where we're going to be in 2 or 3 years from now if they don't get off their butts, grow some balls, and get involved in putting a stop to what's going on in our country, because we are going down a very, very dark path. They're accelerating their attack from all different avenues. Doc, we see what they're doing. We see the agenda coming forward with digital ID. And, of course, if they manage to get that in place, which they're going to push very hard, then currency will be right behind it. And if they manage to get that in place, then at that point, I would throw in the towel. I'd go find a cave, and I'd wait for them to come and get me. And I'd make sure that I can't say what I would do after that. But we can't let this go on. We have to make people aware. We're not getting the information. They're not going to get the information from CDC or CTV, any media outlet now, especially with this Bill C-11 coming through. They're going to completely censor any opposing voices. You watch them go after rebel media. That'll be the first thing that this government does now with this new bill in place. But I think we have to really get down at a table with your friends and open your heart up and let them know right from the bottom of your heart that we are in so much trouble. And I find that, you know, maybe it sounds corny, but I find that a very effective way when I really sit down and look them in the eye and say, look, you know, just listen to what we're saying and go look at this yourself. Don't take what we're saying for gospel truth. But just go look at some of the things this government's doing right now and tell me if any of it makes any sense at all, period. And you'll find out that none of it does, unless you're pushing a communist agenda, which this government's doing. The coalition between the NDP and Liberals, that should never be allowed to happen in our society. And here they are with a majority in Parliament. They can run through any bill that they want, and we have no way of stopping it. Like you said, Doc, we're not in a democracy anymore, that we have so many problems, but I believe we can still fix them if people realize what's at stake, period. I really believe we can still stop it. I'm not going to throw in the towel myself.
We need a groundswell from just everyday Canadians like you and me. We need an absolute groundswell of the working people who keep this country going. You know, that keep the wheels of economy rolling. But the main thing is people need to stop listening to the legacy media, because they need to realize that the legacy media are not our friends. They are controlled by those that want to take away our freedoms. And so I think that's the most crucial thing, is to help people to realize that the government are not our friends, and nor are the media, and nor are the banks. And so we have to get our information from other places. And of course, that's what Bill C-11 is all about, is to try and shut down those other places that we can get the information, so that they can control the narrative. And Hitler and Stalin learned that a long time ago, that you can control the whole nation if you can control the media. And they used fear. And they use misinformation exactly the same as Trudeau does. And yeah, he's in good company along with Hitler and Stalin. He's right along there with them.
Well, you know, it worked for Hitler. Why wouldn't you use it? Well, yeah, you know, Hitler completely controlled the media.
Yep. Oh, totally. That's the first thing they do. That's the first thing they do, is take control of the media in order for your propaganda to be completely... to saturate the people and to control what they know and what they think.
Right. Well, that's how Hitler turned his people against the Jewish people, that they were propagandized. Yeah. And the only thing that you heard through media in Germany after 1935 is what Hitler wanted you to hear. And we're going down the exact same path now. They're attacking our freedoms in ways that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, Doc, but they are, and they're coming at us really hard. We need, like you said, a groundswell pushback. I think the only way we're going to get that is if people really wake up and realize what's at stake. Because what's at stake, folks, is I don't even want to go in my thoughts to what this country is going to look like in 5 years from now if we don't put a stop to this, that our children are not going to have the same freedoms that I grew up enjoying, our so-called perceived freedoms, or what you grew up enjoying, Doc. Those are all going to be taken away. We'll be a completely controlled society under surveillance 24/7 by the government, based on credit score, a global income, global currency. That is all coming down the pipes here in the next 4, 5, 6 years, Doc. So we just got to get people aware of what's at stake. And I think we'd see the groundswell that we need. I'm praying that that's what happens, Doc. I really am. But every day I ask myself every day, what's it going to take for Canadians to wake up? I think it's going to take something of monumental proportions to really get Canadians kicked in the butt and realize that they've got to get off their arses and do something about what's going on. Go ahead.
You know, the difficulty is that Canadians are too easygoing. They're so nice. They're so kind of tolerant and compliant that they just put up with this stuff, and they're incredibly trusting. And unfortunately, you know, it's interesting to ask, you know, why, you know, in Africa, where less than 10% of the population of Africa got the COVID shots. And yep. So you have to say, well, why did they not go for them? It's not that the shots weren't there. They have known that their governments are corrupt for generations. They believe very little of what the government tells them. And so when the government told them that they all had to go and get this experimental vaccine, most of them didn't believe it and didn't go. And as a result, COVID deaths in Africa pretty well zeroed out. For more than a year, there have been almost no COVID deaths in Africa at all. Literally, right. Almost zero. They've had herd immunity since March of 2022. In Canada, the COVID deaths are barreling on because the shots have damaged people's immune systems so much that COVID is now here to stay. And tragically, all these people that have had so many shots that they will never have natural immunity because their immune systems are so damaged. So in Africa, people didn't get the shots. They now have herd immunity. They're done with COVID, and the people are moving on. Yeah, we can't move on because we're so damaged by the lies and the harm that the government has done and have been plunged into this unbelievable debt that we can really never pay. And I think the debt is all, you know, all of the government handouts and programs are all part of destroying the currency so that they can move to a digital currency. And I Absolutely. Think they're going to be, I think that they're trying to destroy it through debt. And all of the COVID handouts and the massive COVID expenses, you know, Trudeau gave $1 billion to every province just to push the vaccine mandates. It wasn't for buying shots. It was for literally just pushing the agenda. It was for handouts to grease the wheels of vax mandates. Mm. So the handouts have been enormous, and it was all part of increasing the debt to sink the currency so that we can move to a digital currency, which will give the government complete surveillance of everything we do.
China Nobody model is exactly what he's following.
Exactly.
Yeah. China's model is exactly what
Trudeau's feeding. Yeah. Well, he's been quite honest about the fact that he greatly admires the you know, communist China model of how they control and surveil people. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that that's what he's modeling, you know, that's what he's doing to us.
Right. You know, when that CERN program came out, all these guys in town were all going, yahoo, yahoo. I get $2,000 a month. I get to sit in my basement and play games all day and smoke pot. I love Trudeau, man. Love what he's doing. What a great guy. Well, people, nothing is free, Doc. Nothing is free. Now, you just watch what happened to inflation and our food prices and our gas prices, and everything in Canada is going to go up in leaps and bounds. This year, next year, it's going to go right through the roof. Nothing is free. Now you hear the government offering little tidbits to get people to believe that they're on their side. Oh, we got a new free dental program in British Columbia now. You got this program going on. Here's some food handouts. Here's some rent assistance. All these little tidbits to make them think that the government's actually working on their behalf. But you can't take an economy at a half a trillion dollars worth of debt in less than 2 years to an economy, or just over 2 years, add $500 trillion to that debt of that country and expect that that currency to continue to function on the surface. It's all designed to collapse. And when they do that, boy, you want to see chaos in society, Jack. People are going to literally lose their shit. Go ahead.
Yeah.
They'll be running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Yeah. No. So what we sadly have to try and do is each become as independent of the government as we possibly can. In terms of everything, and the fact that private hospitals are illegal in this country is straight communism. I mean, I'm not aware of any other of the G7 countries where they do not allow private hospitals. You're forced to have, this is the nanny state where you're forced to have government health care, whether you want it or not. And you know, the recent Supreme Court decision that they've got this idea that if you have private hospitals, somehow you then don't have equal health care for everyone. So it is astonishing. I mean, the world has never been equal. Everyone's different. People are born with different skills, different abilities. You're never going to have an equal Canada because everyone's different. It's really tragic. But it's all part of making us completely dependent on the government, because then they can control us.
Yep.
And we need to somehow break out of that control.
So your situation are you able to practice right now in BC, or have you been shut down? I know you have a court case pending. When is that court case coming up? And what are the charges against you right now?
Well, firstly, with regard to my practice, I was an emergency room physician for 31 years. I was fired from that for saying that a person who had natural immunity didn't need to have a vaccine. You're not allowed to say that. So I was fired. So I can't work as an emergency room physician anymore. But I still do have a medical license. My medical practice got burnt, fortunately, in the Lytton fire. So I don't have a medical practice. I sort of work from home and work in borrowed clinic space, you know, where I can still see patients. So I still am able to earn some money to try and pay my legal bills. The charges against me by the College of Physicians and Surgeons, they claim that I have spread misinformation by firstly saying that ivermectin is an effective treatment for COVID. You're not allowed to say that, despite the fact that there are 200 medical studies on ivermectin and COVID-19, of which 143 are peer-reviewed medical studies. Absolutely overwhelming evidence for the safety and effectiveness of ivermectin in treating COVID. But you're not allowed to say that it's good. It doesn't matter how much evidence there is. So that's one of the charges, that I've said that ivermectin is a good treatment for COVID. I've said that these shots have killed a large number of people. They don't agree with that, and they say that that is misinformation. I've said that these shots can affect female fertility, because so much of the toxic spike protein ends up in the ovaries and the testicles. And so, of course, they can affect fertility. And we all know the huge increase in miscarriages and stillbirths and menstrual irregularities in women. But they disagree that it can affect fertility, even though there is absolutely no scientific evidence to show that these shots are safe in pregnancy at all. But they, despite having no evidence for it, they insist they are. And in fact, now overwhelming evidence to the contrary, with all the stillbirths and miscarriages. And in fact, in all the highly vaccinated countries, there's been a huge decrease in the number of live births since the vaccine rollout. So there's a growing body of evidence to show that these are going to be very harmful to fertility. But of course, we have no idea what it will have done to children and babies. That's going to take many, many years to find out if they're still even fertile at all. The other charges against me is that I did some research on my own patients showing that these shots cause microclotting, and doing a test called a D-dimer test, and they contest that. Now, there's excellent pathological evidence from autopsies from people who never survived their COVID shot to show that microclotting occurs, but they deny that. What else? I had a lot of patients with neurological injuries in my practice, and I wrote a letter to Dr. Bonnie Henry about that, exposing that, and they, of course, deny that these shots cause neurological injuries. So I don't know what they think, all the Bell's palsies and strokes and Guillain-Barré and all the other seizures and other neurological problems that are caused by this. In fact, you know, the neurological problems are the largest category of vaccine side effects, even more than heart attacks and strokes, you know, even more than cardiovascular problems. Neurological problems is the top category for vaccine injuries, and yet they deny they cause neurological problems. So anyway, these are the charges against me. I was supposed to have had a 10-day trial starting middle of it was actually supposed to have started in February, and it was adjourned. So at the moment, a new trial date hasn't been set, but it's probably going to be in November of this year.
Well, so, by then, there's going to be a lot more reports of deaths. I'm looking at the numbers of deaths.
They will, but
yeah, I'm seeing a huge jump.
The trouble is whether or not they'll accept that as evidence. You know, that's the problem is the colleges all put out statements saying that doctors were not allowed to disagree with public health policy. You were not allowed to voice any alternative viewpoints. Any alternative viewpoints were considered misinformation. So I am guilty of having an alternative viewpoint. Therefore, I'm guilty before I've even been tried because I disagreed. So, you know, this is not exactly going to be an unbiased trial because I'm guilty of disagreeing.
Well, I don't even know what to say now, Doc, in our world, how far we've slid. How much fascism has come into our society, and yet people still don't recognize it for what it is. The levels of the medical tyranny that we've seen in British Columbia through Dr. Bonnie Henry, that we've seen through Canada through Theresa Tam in the last couple of years, it just boggles my mind, yet people still refuse to identify it for what it is. I don't know what to do at this point. I really don't. All we can do is just keep sharing this information and hope that people listen. But it is so rigged against individuals like you and individuals that want to speak the truth now in our society. It is full-blown fascism / communism. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, there is a war against truth. People who love darkness hate light. So people who love lies hate truth. And so truth is now called misinformation. And so it's literally a war against truth, which is a pretty dark place to be, where you're not allowed to, where the truth is covered up and distorted, and those that speak truth are persecuted. Democracy is supposed to be all about debate and being able to voice your opinion and have a respectful discussion with others about alternative viewpoints. That's what democracy is supposed to be built on respectful interchange of ideas. And that's the bedrock of science, is scientific debate and scientific inquiry. And, of course, that's not allowed anymore because that's called misinformation. If you disagree with Bonnie Henry, then you're spreading misinformation. And so we no longer have science and we no longer have democracy. All we have is a medical tyranny, basically medical fascism.
Yeah, and as we go forward, you're going to see less and less information being shared on the internet. Of course, they're going to try and shut that down. So I think going forward, it's going to be very important that people engage in written information. I read Druthers every month, Doc, and if people aren't aware of that publication in Canada, I suggest you seek it out. They have very, very good information there, and the government hasn't been able to shut them down. But any other sources of information in Canada, I believe, will disappear in the next year or two with bureaucrats telling us what we can and can't listen to or watch on the internet. It's not going to go well. Like I said, they've got three other bills right behind that, Doc, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but these bills are absolutely draconian, and there is absolutely no logic to it unless you were trying to take over our country, and that's exactly what they're doing, and they're really coming at us hard now. Scary hard. Go ahead.
I think we're going to have to resort to the printed word much more. It's like going back to the, you know, back in the 1500s when they discovered when they discovered the printing press was an enormous breakthrough, where they could, you didn't have to hand write things, you could print them off, and I think with the corruption of the media. And increasingly the corruption of the internet by the tyrants who want to control it, we're going to have to go back to the printed word and literally just handing out leaflets and newspapers.
Yeah. You know, even people living in a small town can start a little publication. Very, very easy to set up a small publication where you're printing out maybe 2,000 or 3,000 copies every month and handing them out inside your own community. I think that's going to be something you're going to see in the very near future here, because like they are going to completely silence us through the electronic world. So we got to resort to, like you said, Doc, 1500th century tactic, because it worked back then. People were able to get the information and they were able to rise up against the tyranny. If that information is taken from us via the internet and via our electronic world, it'll be really hard for people to keep on top of what's going on. Of course, the government, that's what they're trying to do right now. So we have ways to stop it. And I people say, you know, Barry, we don't have a chance. I hear this all the time that we're so overwhelmed, that the government's got so much power now. How are we going to stop this? What are we going to do? I hear that every day, Doc. I don't have all the answers. I just know that if we grew a little bit of testicles, Canadian men, because they don't have it. I don't know what happened to Canadian men, Doc. I really don't. Second World War, you know, the Canadians, we were the most feared fighters in the world, bar none. And since then, we've become a nation of pussies, of snowflakes, that are so scared of their own shadow that they go hide when anything confronts them. It really is a time for men to take a look in the mirror and go, look, you know, I don't like what's going on, and we got to put a stop to it. If they did that, and we could prescribe something that would grow testicles across the country tomorrow, Doc, maybe we could save the country. Go ahead. I don't like to talk like that, but that's what I see, buddy. Go ahead.
I think you're right, Barry. So what do you think has softened Canadian men? Do you think they've just been feminized, or do you think they're afraid to be men because they're going to be told if you're a man, you're an abuser?
I think it's generations of all kinds of different conditioning that's been brought into our society. You know, the powers to be, they make changes in our society, but they do it very, very small increments. So what happens, you know, people, there's a small change comes in our society. It really doesn't seem like it's much. So people just kind of go about their lives. But if you take a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece over here, and over 20 or 30 years, what have you done? You completely turned our society upside down. When I was a child growing up, Doc, everything that I see now going on in my world would not have been tolerated by my parents or our friends or our neighbors or anybody in our society back in the early, you know, I was born in 54, so 60s, 70s, it wouldn't have been tolerated. But now everything that was good back then is bad, and everything that was absolutely evil back then is glorified, supported, and promoted in our society. Our society's become very, very evil. Our moral levels of our moral consciousness in our society is really hit a bottom. and when we allow drag queens to come into schools and dance around with barely any clothes off on in pornographic dances and doing this in front of 6 and 7 year old children when they're at the most impressionable point in their life, and we allow that to go on, I really ask myself, where has our moral standard gone in our society, and how do we get it back, Doc? I see that as the main problem right now, but go ahead, my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it is, and Barry, you know, the morals originally came from the Ten Commandments. That's what, you know, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not murder, you don't commit adultery. Those moral standards were the bedrock of our civilized society, and those Ten Commandments weren't written by people. That was, for anybody that's read the Bible, that was written by God on stone. You know, that whole thing about something being written in stone? The Ten Commandments were written on stone by God on a mountain called Mount Zion and given to Moses, Mount Sinai, I mean, and given to Moses as a sort of moral guide for the world. And the fact that that has been thrown out of the law courts, out of the schools, you're not allowed to talk about it. That's what's destroyed our culture, is literally taking that moral bedrock out from underneath, so that you say that anybody, you have your own truth. You decide what's true for you. The trouble is, once you have that, you're on a slippery slope, because then you no longer have ethics. You know, if each person decides what's ethical or what's true for them, you're going to have Nazi ethics and communist ethics and cannibal ethics and Trudeau ethics and any other kind of ethic, you know, pedophile ethics and any other kind of ethics you want. Each person has their own stand, and you've got chaos, because if truth is relative and you no longer can say there's no longer a common standard of ethics, then you cannot criticize what Hitler did to the Jews, because you could say, well, right, for him that was true, for him that was fine. Well, it is not fine. It is absolutely not fine. And that's why we have to go back to the bedrock that our civilized society was built on, which was literally the Ten Commandments, written by the finger of God on stone, and you know, for all time, so that it is unchangeable. And that has to be, we have to put that back into our schools and our law courts and our universities as the bedrock on which we stand, those moral principles. And right. I think that's how they've managed to break down the moral fabric of the society, is literally by removing that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Anytime in society, a family unit is destroyed. And I'm not a historian, yes, Doc, but I've read a little bit of history, and I understand history a little bit. But any time in history, a family unit has been destroyed in a society, that society will and always does fall apart. And that's exactly what I see happening in Canada right now, in North America. I see it happening around the world, especially with the sexualization of our children. We're forming children now that are going to be our leaders in the future. And their whole moral base, before they even know what is going on in the world, their moral base is being absolutely decimated. That we have to put a stop to. The sexualization of our children in our society, folks, it is something that it drives me nuts to see this going on. And I guess I would say anything today that parents really have to pay attention to what's going on in our schools with SOGI 123. All these programs that are being brought in are absolutely going to destroy the moral fiber of our youth. And, of course, out of chaos comes control. And I can see that really being ramped up, because it seems to be working, and we're not getting a big pushback from society yet. So we really got to kind of look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are they doing to our kids, and why are we allowing this to go on? We got a lot of problems.
And you have to ask, why are they doing that to the kids? Literally, why? What is in it for them? And I really think that this is a satanic attack on humanity from every angle. We've seen the attack on the family, you know, where they, well, firstly, we spoke about the feminization of men, where they literally were trying to break down masculinity. That, you know, men mustn't be men anymore. Men are now the abusers. They have to be feminized and soft and gentle and emotional. They can't be the defenders and the leaders that they used to be, where they would literally be out in the front lines defending people. They have to be feminized and sensitive and soft. Otherwise, they are abusers. And I think that is tragic, where men can't be men because they're afraid of being, you know, told that it's tragic. So I mean, there's an attack on masculinity. There's attack on femininity through the feminist movement, where they want women to be like men and men to be like women. There's attack on the family unit. There's attack on our children with this sexual perversion and sexualization of children from such a young age, which is and trying to create gender confusion. And in children is absolutely tragic, to try and confuse them in this way and to destroy their bodies through puberty blockers and things which will destroy their fertility so that they can never go back. You know, once children have had puberty blockers because they decide, you know, at the age of 12 that they want to be the opposite gender, they will never become the opposite gender, because they, you know, once you take puberty blockers, you will be infertile. And so it's a tragic thing that if after 5 years they change their mind and think they've made a mistake, there's no going back. It has destroyed them for the rest of their life. Mm. So, and then of course, with this COVID vaccine rollout, where they forced people to have these experimental injections, which will definitely damage fertility, but have also genetically modified people, have damaged their immune systems, have made them prone to all sorts of medical conditions that they would otherwise never have had. Of course, this is very lucrative to the vaccine manufacturers, because it's created a multitude of chronic illnesses. So the vaccine manufacturers now have a lot of new customers that are dependent on their products forever. So I mean, it was very clever marketing trick, but actually this is an attack upon humanity from every angle, through the abortion industry, through euthanasia, through the defeminization of women, through the demasculinization of men, through the perversion of our children, through killing the elderly and the disabled through euthanasia. It just goes on and on and on. This is evil beyond imagination.
Well, the world is run by pedophiles, Doc. You know that. I know that. Anybody that's ever looked into the going-ons of the Bohemian Grove, the rituals, and you know what, folks? The Bohemian Grove is real. What I've looked into it over the years, what they do at these meetings and ceremonies that go on, if you were fully aware of that, then you'd understand what's going on in our world right now, that our world is being run by very, very evil people that wouldn't hesitate to shoot you or your children right in front of you or your loved ones in front of you, and it wouldn't affect them in any shape or form. They're people without a heart and a soul. They're very, very evil, and they come from the pits of hell. And I don't know how else to describe these people that knowingly are destroying our children, harboring our children, these vaccine rollouts for children. I mean, it's beyond insanity, but how do we stop it? We have conversations every day, and you get people aware of what they're doing. And eventually, you know what? People are going to get pissed off, Doc, especially when they find out, and I think this day's coming real soon, that these vaccines were nothing. The general population is going to be able to look at themselves and go, hey, we've been scammed. And if you found out that you gave your child a vaccine because you thought it was safe, you trusted the government, and your child died a year down the road, what would you be doing, Doc? I know what I would be doing. And of course, that is going to create chaos in our society, and that's what they're hoping happens, because they play off chaos. You know, Doc, we only got a couple minutes left. This hour's gone by really fast. I'm going to get you to share some more thoughts here before we get out, and I want to thank you for coming in today and sharing your thoughts with people. It's been, a very good conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. You know, I think what we have to take from this is that Canadians have been far too trusting. Because we want to be able to trust our leaders. We want to be able to trust the health authorities. We want to be able to trust the banks and the media. We should be able to trust them. But unfortunately, they've all proven themselves to be untrustworthy, the whole lot. And so the most important thing out of this, I think, is that we need to not forget. We need to remember what we have learned from this so that as we go forward, we do not get deceived again. Because these people have betrayed us and deceived us, and we need to remember that because otherwise they will do it again. The strongest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And
absolutely.
So if we look at how Trudeau and the media and the banks and all of these other people who we thought we could trust, if we look at how they've behaved in these last 3 years, we need to know that that is how they're going to behave in the future. And so we must not allow them. We must allow them to behave.
That's the show, Doc. I got to let you go, bud. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
Okay.
Back on Wednesday. We're out of here. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
The invasion.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down and...
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rules.